Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It normally airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m., and it is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's host is me, Marty. I'm a student at Laytonville High School. In early April, Ralph Cantor spoke to students at Laytonville High School about cannabis and alcohol and how they affect the adolescent brain. Almost all students learn new information about their developing brains and personalities. Ralph explained what the neurotransmitter dopamine is, how it changes our experiences, and ways to trigger its release in the brain. He talked about how the adolescent brain is pruned and hardwired, and that the release of dopamine by the use of THC is a shortcut that can inhibit developing skills and passions. He described that the problem with educating people about marijuana is that there are strong biases. Some people treat is all good and some treat is all bad. The fact that most people have an agenda when expressing their beliefs about weed has made the subject more complex and has left most people in the dark about how the substance actually works. The truth is that the context of its use determines whether or not it is appropriate. Because of the illegality and profitability of marijuana, the general public is rather uneducated as to how it scientifically works in the brains of youth and adults. The discussion has tended to be whether it is good or bad, not how it alters consciousness. Ralph also talks about how other substances affect the brain. He explained how most drugs could be categorized as either uppers, downers, or all-arounders, and that a number of youth practice cross-fading, which is using multiple substances at the same time. He showed how alcohol anesthetizes the brain starting on the outside and how more alcohol can lead to impaired motor function and ultimately a shutdown of the central nervous system. Ralph made it clear that he understands why people want to experience the effects of cannabis, and that the medical properties are finally being accepted as valuable in treating certain ailments. The legalization of cannabis in numerous states will lead to further research and understanding of how the plant can benefit people, but is also important to understand how the dopamine-releasing effect can limit skill and personality development. Ralph's message to youth is just say wait. After Ralph's presentation, some students were asked to comment on what they experienced in the class and how they saw the role of marijuana in their community. Marijuana production has been a primary source of income for many people in Mendocino County for decades. The producer of this show, Dan Roberts, recorded the students' comments in a room adjacent to the gym. And apologies for the background noises. We will listen to those recordings now. Then we will add our comments on how the presentation may have affected the high school community 3 weeks later.
Just talk about your experience of Ralph, you two guys.
Ralph? I thought he was pretty cool. Like, I don't know. I actually wish I could have asked him, because he was talking a lot about like weed doesn't really like do like direct damage to you, you know, but like kind of like how you do like how you like kind of do it, and like how like your decision and how you take it is like a big factor in what it can do. But he talked about how alcohol can shrink your hippocampus or whatever, and actually it's too bad I didn't ask him, because I should have. But just if there was drugs that could grow your hippocampus or make you more intelligent or something, I should have asked him that, but never really got around to it.
I did, and he said there unfortunately weren't any drugs that would grow your hippocampus, because I was like kind of confused, because like there's ones that shrink it, there's ones that like don't really affect it. Yeah. I was wondering if there's ones that did affect it and
that's
make it bigger.
Too bad, yeah.
Yeah, like that's what I think those like Lucy movies or whatever, you know, the ones that like the chick goes all like uses 100% of her brain. I'm pretty sure like that's what they kind of thought the drug would be or something.
Yeah,
which would be kind of cool.
I don't know. Like I just really wish I could heard it.
Yeah. So once you just. When we talked outside, you said a thing about you liked it. He talked about the good and it's neither good nor bad. Just kind of.
Yeah. I kind of like how he was like, there's these good sides, upsides to pot. Like it calms you down and like makes you like, if you're ADHD or something and you smoke like pot, you'll calm down for a little bit. And then I liked how he was like, but after the weed like wears off, or in a sense, that you have worse ADHD because you're like, your brain is like, oh, I can calm myself down using this like dopamine and this THC and this CBD or whatever. But now it's gone, so now I have to like compensate for
this. It's kind of like that pressure that was holding it down. It kind of like, now that's being suppressed, it kind of like erupts back again once it's like, no, once no longer the restraints that hold it down.
Right, it's like kind of like a workout in a sense. You work your muscles out and you like use them, and then like they grow back like more strong, like stronger than they were after before you lifted weights or whatever you're doing. I don't know, it's kind of cool, like, that he was like talking about how like his experiences with it, like in its growth from like 1 to 3%, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, or 18 or whatever it was, and then 25%, and then all the stuff.
And then got to like 95, dabs. Yeah, like dabs and oil and stuff.
Yeah, which was kind of cool. I liked how he's like there for all of that, and like he could tell us about the history and not just this is how dope works, this is the bad stuff. There's no good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you learn about how marijuana works on your brain?
About the dopamine receptors and how like it shoots dopamine off, and then your brain will make more receptors from to absorb all that dopamine, so then the pot doesn't work as well after you like smoke it for a long time.
Like, the more you do it, eventually, kind of, if you do it so much, like so many times, your brain gets so used to doing it so many times, it has to build more receptors. So the normal things that create dopamine for you originally, such as playing basketball or whatever makes you happy, and you know, like, yeah, whatever, you know, watching a movie or whatever makes you happy in life, is like less intense in its level of dopamine, kind of, because your brain is so used to getting such a rush from like pot or whatever, you know. So, you know, it could be something else that could do that too, but just, you know, that's the main thing.
The, like, how it's fat soluble and, like, how you, like, when you take edibles or something, it, like, lasts for a lot longer because it's all in your fats.
3 days, and then it, like, has to wear out through, like, just, like, the fat
10
in your
hours
brain.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How about the idea that it's a trick?
Oh, yeah, that was kind of neat, like, that your brain is like, oh, this is good, I need this, but
yeah,
really
like,
it's just...
your brain naturally, like, in a weird way, because, like, you're so used, kind of, like... something that, like, is naturally, like, makes you, like, happy or whatever in life, you know? That's what you'll be naturally drawn towards to do, though. But, like, because weed's not an actual, like, thing besides just smoking weed, you know? You're not really being productive by doing it. It's just kind of like a trick, you know? It's like, you know, here's the equivalent of whatever you do enjoy, kind of. But it's
right,
not
right.
really
it's
it.
It's like how you build those highways he was talking about. Like, how you, like, have all these, like, neural pathways or whatever. That, like, all these random things could have you, make you have fun. But if you don't know if they do yet, and then you try them. But, like, if you just smoke dope, you don't know if those, like, that's all you do because you just want to sit on your couch and, like, laze around or whatever.
That's why you have to smoke dope and do what you love at the same time.
You got to find what you love to do before you smoke dope, or you're not going to know what to do to have fun while you're smoking dope. Like, he was kind of saying, like, have fun before you turn 18. And then once you turn 18 or whatever, 22 or whatever, however old he was, and then you smoke dope, you'll know how to have fun and smoke weed.
Yeah.
Instead of just knowing how to smoke weed and that's how you're fun.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I also like just like how honest he was. Like he was like, when I was like 22, I smoked a bunch of weed. I also did a bunch of other drugs, but I'm not gonna talk about that right now. But like, I don't know. His brutal honesty was like really cool because like most people tell you not to do drugs are like basically like they've never done them, so
right,
it's like,
right,
you know,
right.
How the hell would you know?
Right, like all those like kind of like the hippie teachers we have are like, oh no, I've never smoked weed or I've never done whatever. But really,
they
we all
say that.
Some of them, yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. They're just like, no. As a teacher, we've never actually done any of these drugs. But really, in all reality, they've obviously done those drugs, and it just makes you kind of like, oh, should we hide this from everyone that we actually like do this hypothetically, like. If you smoke weed, like, on a regular basis, per se, and, like, you, like, want to talk to your friends about it, but you don't want anyone else to hear, so you kind of hide it from yourself. And, like, say you're, like, you mix, like, say, like, lean and, like...
Downers.
Xanax or something, like, some weird stuff.
Xanax.
And then you, like, overdose, and no one would know, like... It'd be such a, like, a plot twist for everyone. They'd be like, oh, this guy actually does this kind of stuff. Like,
and just randomly does.
Yeah. And nobody would, like, ever think that... And it's just kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like when you're honest about it, people know more about you.
So do you think that a lot of people that are in their 20s here that are actually 20s and 30s are actually productive people did smoke a lot of pot in high school?
I mean... Okay, so the ones that are productive now that are in their 20s and 30s. Not as much. I feel like they may have, like, once in a while at parties or something, like, if they're with their friends hanging out. But, like, I feel like they weren't, like, total stoners just sitting on their couch and, like, blazing up the whole weekend or whatever. And, like, to be productive, I feel like there's some people that can operate while, like, super high. Like, if they're super baked, they can actually do what they want to do and, like, get it done. Like, my dad was, like, a super big stoner for a long time. And then, like, and he was always, like, just do working, and, like, that was how he worked, was, like, when he was baked, and then he stopped being baked, and he started doing more, actually. So, like, it's obviously something that, like, brings your productivity level down, but I wouldn't say it's something that, like, completely impairs it.
Well, yeah, like, I think, too, like, I think, like, because, you know, of course, like, it was such a short seminar and stuff like that, you know, and, like, it's just, you know, it's speech, you know, it's not, like, actual, like, you can't actually experience whatever to, like, show it, you know, that he, of course, it was somewhat, like, you know, more dramatic or whatever, because, like, I don't, you know, like, you have to keep in mind, too, like, I know plenty of people who smoke lots of weed and are, like, the best students in their class and, like, know exactly what they're doing all the time. So, I mean, it really does depend, like, person to person.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what he's talking about with that brain thing where, like, the person could drink the 40-ounce whatever and be knocked out. And there's that other person that drinks the 40 and they're just having a good time and they're just riding away.
And they're
stuff, just fine. And their body just, and their liver just, like,
flushes it out.
Yeah, just, like, good. And then there's other people who are, like, dying on the toilet, having a relationship with it, as he said.
So you're saying that there's some kids that get the best grades here that are regulars?
Oh, yeah. I know quite a few, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few, but I know a couple also that don't. And
like,
extraordinary
it's
grades.
It's a total mixed bag.
Yeah, like, Manise, for instance, doesn't do anything at all. He is the cleanest person in this school by far. And he has by far the best grades in the school, probably, like...
Maybe, but, I mean, I also know quite a few people that are, like, the top of their class are, like, genius, but, like, they also, like, smoke weed regularly, you know? But, like, the one thing I want to point out, though, is because, like, let's say, you know, like, let's say if you were, like, a genius, basically, and you are smoking weed, like, ahead of our class, and have your class, let's just, like, hypothetically say, perhaps if, like, one of the people I'm alluding to stopped smoking weed and they did even better... I'm not sure if they actually would, because I feel like, just like how Rav Cantor said, how it can make you more creative or it can make you have a different perspective on reality or life, I feel like in a weird way, stretching your brain that far or looking at life with those really unique and in-depth perspectives perhaps actually could be also somewhat what leads to some really, like, grand levels of intelligence, because using your brain in such a grandly abstract way when, if you're high on, like, weed or something, that can be... While yes, it could make maybe perhaps while you're doing it lower your productivity, it could also perhaps make you smarter in the long run if you, of course, stretch your brain a sort of
when ways. You're off of it, it's like elastic. Like, while you're on it, it stretches your creativity or your intelligence. It stretches it and stretches it. But when you're not off of it, it, like, snaps back and it's less than what you started with.
Well, that could be person to person.
I'm not saying it's, like, all in moderation. You can't just keep smoking weed, keep smoking weed, and then be like, oh, I'm a super genius. It's got to be, like, every now and then you open your mind a little bit, and then you can, like, come back to reality, and your mind will be, like...
There's also that thing with, like, the memory and stuff where he's talking about, like, how you don't, like, always remember what you, like... You've thought about, like, that 2 or, like, that 2, 3, and 4. Like, those are bomb numbers or whatever he's talking about. Like, you, like, once you're, like, down off your high or whatever, you don't really remember that. So I feel like if you were, like, someone who, like, takes really good notes and you, like, wrote down every single thought you had, maybe that would help you further yourself. But, like...
With my 2, like, I don't mean, like, if I'm really smart, you know, I'm always smoking weed. It's going to make me way better. But I mean, like... You know, let's say I smoke some weed and I go for a walk, you know, because I mentioned I'm like an artist too, like I'm like going for art college and stuff. And I just from like I feel like if you change your perspective on reality greatly, not maybe every day, all the time, every single hour of the day, but if you take those times to greatly change your perspective on reality, it can actually make you smarter than you were in the past, even though, yes, it can impair your ability to learn while you're taking it.
Right. So kind of like you want to be creative,
yeah.
And then you come down and you're like, wow, I had this bomb idea or whatever, if you remember the idea or something.
It doesn't even have to be while you're on it, you have that really great idea. It can just be the memory of knowing that that's a place you can reach, kind
right,
of,
right,
that
right.
gives you that ability to kind of look for it, you know?
Or how you, like, perceive, like, a flower or something. Like,
yeah.
wow, that flower is, like, super pretty in that perspective
yeah,
or something.
It can
and then you draw
them,
it out or
yeah,
something.
It can just
then,
offer you more insight into what's happening actually around you, you know?
So you're saying it's a different kind of learning experience?
I'm saying perhaps it's not the best learning experience, but it shouldn't be something completely shunned upon, or it should be something done in very extreme moderation if that's what you're looking for with learning, of course.
Okay, what do you think about when Ralph said that if you just wait till you're 18 or 20, then you'd be able to figure out the pruning stuff, you know, so that you develop more self-motivated ways of being high. What do you think about that?
I think, like, he's talking about, like, say, someone who, like, I personally like to ride motorcycles. Like, that's something that gets me, like, it fires off dopamine in a sense. So he's kind of saying that, like, if you figure out those things that fire off dopamine, that, like, in such levels, like, if it's, like, you really enjoy it, that you could probably see, like, not necessarily the same way that you would, like, while you're high on pot, but, like, in a different perspective also. Like, when I, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, when you, like, going, like, past something and, like, you barely just see it out of the corner of your eye, and, like, that kind of, like, realism thing, like, kind of, photo of it, you just like the peripheral vision thing, yeah it could be like something that could make you more creative too.
Yeah,
if it's like,
I mean, like, I think the main thing he was going with is just though that, like, kind of like we all, like, you know, because, like, let's say, like, if we were all, like, born with a purpose, nod nod wink wink, or we're all special snowflakes that can all be good at something, you know, nod nod wink wink, you know, that, like, you know, we all can be good at decently something, or every human being can learn something, you know? So, like...
You gotta figure that out, though.
Yeah, that's what he's saying with the pruning.
That's my point,
yeah,
though,
he's
yeah.
saying that, like,
so, like, perhaps we should all, like, take the time to learn what we need to before we start just, like...
Right, right.
Yeah.
That one thing you're good at,
yeah.
like...
I like
yeah.
that he was saying that you shouldn't start until after your brain's already developed, until you figured out what you want to do. Because, like, if you start smoking weed at a young age, and then that's, like, all you do, it's all about...
That's
where you're gonna get
know.
It,
yeah.
like, that's all, your brain's gonna
yeah,
prune all the unimportant things, and you're gonna, like, tell yourself the weed is what's important, and then when you get older, all your
like,
hobbies
yeah,
is just gonna be
rehab,
smoking weed.
You rehab
like,
off of weed, and, like, you get done with weed, you're not gonna know what to do, so you're gonna be sitting on your couch and, like,
I just wanna
dang,
smoke
that
right
doobie
now.
Sounds
yeah, how he was saying,
as,
like, you just sit there and you're bored, but then when you smoke weed, you're still just sitting there,
but
you're
not
bored anymore. Like, you need to figure out different ways to not be bored than just smoking weed, because when you grow up, all you're going to think about is, like, well, I have my own time, I'm going to smoke some weed, instead of getting out and actually doing things with your life.
Yeah. Right,
like,
even
finding
it's just,
other
like,
things.
Hanging out with, like, a couple friends
being
at, like, the beach or something.
Yeah, every
in
once
life.
In a while, like, just
yeah.
smoke a bowl, and, like, it's different than continuously, that's all your hobby is, that's what you do with your life, like.
Yeah.
There
like,
needs to be other things.
I mean, yeah, there's also that, but, like, plus when you've turned 18 or whatever and your brain's developed, it allows you to, like, have fun while you're on it also. Like, you can do those things that, like, fire off dopamine.
Yeah.
Right. You could, like, say, like, you really like to, like, surf or something. So you smoke a bowl before you surf. It's like that kind of nicotine thing he was talking about. It makes the high even better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it boosts it, like how you're saying, like, the nicotine or whatever.
Instead of just sitting there doing nothing while you're smoking, get out and
do
what you want to do while smoking. Like, that's after you've figured out what you like to do.
Right.
If you do it before you figure it out, what you want to do with your life when, like, smoking weed
is
so much easier than
know.
Just
it's
yeah
like,
it's like
wow,
I have nothing to do right now, well, what's something to do? I could smoke, instead of like, what's something
really
I could do? Well, I could
plan.
Yeah,
to what you could, like, you know, potentially could be doing.
Right. It's like, you could know that you could smoke weed and do something.
It's easier. You don't have to think about
weed.
Anything except
right.
just smoking that bowl.
Right, because you know how to do it. You know, like, oh, I got this, like, indica or sativa plant. I got this bud. And I got this pipe or whatever.
It takes
it's like
up
water
a lot
pipe
of your
or something. You're like, oh, okay, here we
too.
Go. I just put it in there. I smoke it up. I got 2 hours out of my day.
And instead of, like, driving somewhere and, like, riding your motorcycle or surfing or, like, it's just easier to sit there and do
nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just really glad the way he explained it, you know, because the thing is, like, it's really easy just to bash on, like, drugs and weed and stuff, but the simple truth is, all throughout history, since the beginning of time, people have been trying to find ways to get high and just change your perspective on reality.
And
so,
release that dopamine.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's really it's really good on him that he didn't say don't smoke weed. He basically said if you are going to smoke weed, make sure that you have a backup plan. You know, you have something else you want to do that's not just smoke weed. You know, because I think personally that you should have that right to change your perspective on reality, even if it may be something more intense than weed. But it should be done with a grain of salt, caution, and also knowing that something
just be
else
smoking
is
smoking weed.
Yeah.
Your life should be like other things all involved. And if you want to smoke weed sometimes, like
how he made weed kind of seem like it was better than most drugs, so you're not like getting smashed and then trying to drive.
Yeah,
that's exactly how reckless driving happens. Or you're not doing some cocaine or something and then trying to drive.
Yeah.
Or you're not doing some like heroin trying to drive. You're not like
all those other things like damage. Well, weed has its benefits. It has its health benefits too. He's just saying find your life before you fill your life up with just weed.
Yeah. I kind of like the way he was on both spectrums. Like,
how he told you there was good things about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And in moderation, everything's okay in moderation, you know? But if it's like a daily
suicide
thing,
a chocolate bar every day.
You can't kill yourself multiple times.
She's dangerous now. Getting diabetes.
Yeah.
So do you think that the fact that, could I say, the majority of people who live up here make their living off of marijuana, that has influenced the amount that young people use marijuana up here?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, well, because it's easy to get.
Yeah, yeah,
all
your parents
you.
Grow it in a sense. Like, say your parents grow.
It's normal to you. It's
and
all
And you
around.
Know where their stash is or whatever, like where they hide their weed or whatever from you if they're trying to keep it away from the kids, hypothetically.
Or
like,
if your parents let you because
or
they
even
think
if parents,
it's not
yeah,
dangerous
because right.
they do it themselves.
Right.
Like,
so then you find the weed or whatever, and you know, obviously they've got like a pipe or something hidden, and you can find the pipe.
It's
now you don't have to
available.
Go anywhere. You don't have to make any money to buy the weed. You just get the weed, you smoke the weed, you're sitting on your couch.
It's so easy.
It's the easiest thing to do around here. But like there's some parents, I guess, that would like shun and like make the kids like kind of. Well,
then they sneak it. But it's still easy to get because like all their friends
it's
up
still
here.
Right there.
It's all around.
Yeah, or like your best friend has got it or something.
If you're sneaking it though, then you might also be like. Because if you're sneaking, because if let's say your parents are very free with weed, for instance, they might say, you know, they could be smoking weed, you know, throughout their childhood, and also then look to their children and be quite possibly telling, could be quite possibly telling them perhaps the same information that they usefully picked up throughout their lives, but to what maybe like something that we're talking about right now. But to someone who per se is maybe sneaking it, they could be getting none of this information that even maybe we've just been able to think up right now that is could actually be very important to them if they, you know, are doing it because I'm assuming that they're sneaking it.
Right.
So like,
or like they don't like take it in their car or something and go like smoke up like around the corner or something if they're like that old or something and a cop rolls up or something. They're just sitting in their house. No cop can like just roll up to your house. Like they're not gonna do that. It's a safer situation. Why make the situation that your kid has to smoke dangerous rather than safe?
In the safe of
give
your
him a
home.
Safe
yeah.
place if you're gonna let him. Or like,
but you also have to keep on too, like, because you know we're talking about how like you know how we all grow up around weed around here and it's very common. You know, you have to keep on too, like. I think in every town and, you know, every city or whatever, you know, I think there's some sort of cultural norm just depending on, like, the job and what's going on around
it,
you know?
When cigarettes came in, they're always been legal. And so people look at it as normal. Like, nobody bashes on people, like, adults for smoking cigarettes, even though they're so much, like, worse than you, all those chemicals, than weed. And then some people look down on people for smoking weed. But around here, it's, like, just the norm. It's just as common as cigarettes, you know? So nobody...
Right. People could, like, even they make vape pens now. You could walk around with a vape pen. People think, like...
It's
like
just vape,
like,
but
like,
it's actually
right. Like, they make the oils or whatever that you can put in there, and they're scented, and they don't smell like weed or anything, so they could think you're just hitting the vape pen, like, nicotine vape.
When it's really...
Really, it's weed. So nobody actually knows if you're, like, actually probably going to smoke weed or smoke something because we don't care. We've made it an industry that it's not really
normal. We've made it
normalized. It's not, we're not bashing people for doing
In the same way alcohol is normalized,
right?
So what do you think about should young people experiment as much as they want with alcohol, or
I feel like alcohol is more dangerous.
Yeah, yeah, because there's like ultimately we are still I think ultimately because weed has eventually become legal. And I think like realistically speaking, just like how Germany and many countries have made all drugs decriminalized, so you could potentially do whatever you want. I think, you know, as like, you know, I think all human beings should have the right to decide what they want to put inside their body, you know, because it's your life, you know, and you will eventually
and
die.
If you are informed about it, then yeah. You won't put those bad things into your body.
Yeah, and the goal should be, you know, you're allowed to do whatever you want, but before you do that, here's a pamphlet, you know?
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Right.
But here's like, what you're doing. Yeah. You have the right to do it, but do you really want to?
I'm saying, you know, perhaps before I die, I would like to know what heroin's like, you know? So everyone gets a decision.
I don't know about heroin.
Well, you know,
alcohol's normalization would be, I think, like, it's okay to drink. Like, people think it's okay to drink.
It's the thing about moderation.
But yeah. It's also that moderation and being safe while doing it. Mm-hmm. There's bars where if, like, you've drank too much, they'll probably, like, somebody will try to take your keys, or your friends will take your keys.
And you're supposed to call a cab and get a safe way home.
And that's a safe way home, so you're not driving yourself home, because that's a drunk person.
People make stupid decisions while they're, like, under alcohol, and teenagers make even more stupid decisions because we're just, like, we don't have all the information and experience our adults have. So, like, when we're under the influence, we make stupid decisions. When, if you're smart about it, and it's only once in a while, it's like,
or it's at your house because your parents let you drink,
it's
or it's at your friend's house
or like
something.
A small amount, like knowing your limits is a very important part of like what
you're
doing.
But it's also about finding your limits too. You gotta know how much you can drink before you are blackout drunk or something and you just can't do anything.
I think
like in a really rather peculiar way, like, I don't know, like, cause like, you know, like it is like, you know, I'm not supporting like teenage drinking or whatever, you know, but I think like in a way, you know, like it's kind of important though for teens and for people, you know, that maybe shouldn't be doing drugs, you know, to still have these experiences in their life, you know, just as like, you know, like a personal reference to know what things that, you know, are like, because someone who's never done anything ever who wants to do something, and even if they are informed, will still have no idea what they're going into. So in a weird way, like it's inevitable that there's going to be a learning curve to everything we experience in life, and that when it comes to drugs or doing alcohol or whatever, you just, like, you can't completely handhold someone through the entire thing, but you also want someone to go into it knowing that they've made the decision and that they're not making a mistake.
Right. It's all about that, like, learning curve or whatever you said about it's all about, like, you definitely have to find your limits, because there's like what he was talking about with like the brain thing, like how like when you like drink that 40 or whatever and you're knocked out. It's all about finding that limit so you know when to stop. So, like, say you're at a friend's house and you're partying with them and they're just taking shot after shot after shot, and you know that you can only take, like, 3 shots of, like,
vodka or something.
You shouldn't
try to fit in and do what they do.
You shouldn't try to do what they do and get to that, like, 7 shots they've taken when you're at 2 or something. You're, like, feeling it.
But also, if you do, but say, you know, if you make that mistake, you know, fortunately enough, we all learn from our mistakes.
I'm not
saying you should, but I'm saying perhaps, you know, that learning curve is something that's necessary to life.
Everybody's brain is different. So, like, one thing could affect someone completely different than the way it affects somebody else. So, like, your job is to know how something affects you so that you know to stay away from it, or to know that it's okay for you every once in a while, or to know how much you can take of it. So, like, everybody's brain is different. You shouldn't base it on other people's experience of it.
Yeah, it's like that personal learning curve I was pointing out.
Yeah. And also how you have to learn that curve, like
what's good for you, not good for you.
Where can you have fun and where have you gone too far?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think about Ralph's presentation?
I thought it was interesting how, like, everyone's brain is different, so they react to different drugs differently. Like, there's not necessarily a worse drug or like drug that doesn't really affect you that much. It's just how your brain is designed. So some drugs affect others, like they don't affect them at all, while others, they could, like, be super harmful to them.
Yeah.
What else did you learn that you hadn't heard before?
That I hadn't heard before?
Yeah.
Definitely that you pee out bad thoughts. Something you don't want. Did not hear that before at all.
You lose brain cells.
You lose brain cells when you pee.
He was saying, well, like, our brain cells, we make new brain cells all the time. We have a certain amount, and then some die off because they're, like, you don't use them as often, or they're just, like, really old brain cells. And then you make new ones that can absorb new information. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like if it's in moderation, the things that do kill brain cells are killing off the weaker ones, and then it leaves room for you to, like, make new brain cells. But if you just, like, keep smoking or keep doing the thing that kills over and over again.
Well, that's what he's talking about, like, the liking and the loving of, like, pot or something.
Exactly.
Like, if you like pot and you smoke it every once in a while, it's good. But if you love pot...
It's not good, but it's, like, not bad.
That probably is a good distinction, because I did say, like, lots of people, I know quite a few people that do smoke quite a bit, you know, that are very intelligent, but I wouldn't say they're, like, quite one of those people, you know, where, like, they wake up every morning and every evening and they smoke all the time.
Yeah.
I do know a few people that are like that, and it's unfortunate.
Their whole life is for that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have any other outlets or ways to, like...
But, I mean, I think, like... now, of course, that's unfortunate, but if they were adults, they should have that right to make that decision if that's what they want
adults,
to do.
If they
already know
where their life is going, when you're adult, we're assuming adult means that you have your life figured out and you know what you want to do with your life. And, like, children, us teenagers, don't know that yet. We're unsure about everything. Exactly. It just, like, stops it. It, like, you don't think about what else you want to do. You just think, oh, I could just smoke, instead of actually thinking, what am I going to do with my life in the future? What's gonna come of this, you know, like actually finding where you're going.
Right. Like,
I don't know. If we want to go back, remember, like, a little while ago, we were talking about how, like, socially, like, within every community, there's, like, a certain, like, you know, type of, like, way people, like, think or act, you know, like, how in our community we're, like, all about weed, you know, and everyone grows weed and stuff, everyone's parents, though. But I want to point out, you know, like, I feel like there's quite a few more, like, I think, in a weird way, we're kind of fortunate, though, that in this community, weed is so well-known. Because in a lot of communities where, let's say, for instance, there's more destructive kind of behaviors, like in ghettos, there could be, like, you know, cracks really rampant, or, you know, like, or even, like, in some families, you know, like, going to the military is really, like, rampant or something, you know, like, well, there's a lot more, like, destructive paths in life, you know? Yeah, like, there's way more destructive paths in life, I think, than weed is, you know? So we're very fortunate that if we are going to have one, that we have one that's very easy to educate the community about, and one that's very fortunate. Very unaddictive, you know, or very non-addictive.
That and, like, the fact that, like, around this here, if, like, say your parents do grow, you can know that, like I've had friends that have, like, smoked some weed, but it was laced with something.
Yeah.
If you get it from your parents, you know it's not laced. You're smoking a controlled substance, I guess, in a sense, you could say. Like, you know how that is gonna affect you, because you know it's your parents, and, like, you know what they've done to it. You've seen them process it or whatever, and, like, you've seen them do what they're gonna do. And, like, some parents, like, I was talking to an older dude I know, and he was talking about the ways to make hash oil. There's butane and there's water washing, so, like, you wash all the bud and stuff.
Chemical, and you don't.
And butane's chemically, like, all, like, it puts more chemicals into it, which some people may like better than that hash. But then there's the water washing one, where everybody's like, It's more natural. It's a natural way to do it.
You don't
put
chemicals in your body.
Yeah, so you're not putting, like, more chemicals or something into your...
There's also that, like, education is the best prevention. Like, people educate kids on STDs so that they know what they're getting themselves into, so that they don't do that. The same is with drugs. If you know what you're doing, if you know what you're putting into your body, then you probably won't. Because, like, if you hear about hard drugs, what they do to your body, why would you want to do that to yourself?
Yeah, most people decide against it.
Yeah, exactly. So education is, like, the best way to prevent yourself from doing it, knowing what you're doing. And, like, up here, since weed is so common and so well known, we get more education about it. We know more about it.
I'm saying, like, community, like, wise, we're very lucky that we have this over something, like, you know, in a very, like, poor community that has, like, something with a way.
Yeah, we're not educated, like, on crack or something.
Yeah.
Fortunately enough, we're not, like, you know, in the South, you know, there's, like, a trailer park with, like, meth's rampant or something, you know, and no one knows anything about meth except for when you do it.
Most addicts, like, don't know about the drug they're doing at first, and they smoke it just, like, because somebody's like, hey, try this.
Yeah,
and they don't know anything about it, so they try it, and then they didn't know anything about it at first, and so they try it, and they're already addicted. So, like, if you knew about it, maybe you wouldn't have tried it in the first place, and you wouldn't have gotten hooked, you know?
Yeah.
So when did you first have drug education?
Well, everybody in elementary school, you go through that red ribbon week, that drug-free thing where it's like, stay off drugs, you don't want to do this. And they didn't really educate it about us. Pretty much they were just saying, drugs are bad, never do drugs. Like, they didn't really educate us. They just
really led to the question, well, why are drugs bad?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They
didn't really want to, like, have questions be asked. They just wanted to tell you that you shouldn't do drugs, but they didn't really explain why.
And then when you started getting into middle school and, like, closer to high school, your parents started realizing, like, some kids start with drinking, and some kids start with other things. But your parents started realizing, oh, they're going to get into this, so maybe I should tell them a little bit about what they're going to do so that they know about it before they get into it.
That's a very unfortunate thing, is like, because drugs are kind of more of an adult, I guess you could say, subject or something, you know, just like how sex is or something, you
they
know?
They don't want
to
talk.
Yeah, you only want to talk to your kids about
that. And they
were curious. But the honest truth is, you know, immediately, even your kids, you know, at first grade aren't really interested in weed or having sex, you know, some kids mature faster than other kids, or some kids get interested in things before kids. So perhaps it should come down to more like just, it should like, perhaps we should like kind of remove the awkwardness in this conversation.
Open topic to talk
and
about and
that
ask
we're
questions.
All human beings and we all have, you know, we're all going to experience this in our lives.
We need the education.
So,
we need to know what we're doing before we do it so that like we know about it.
Yeah.
Did you really know most of the stuff that you spoke about?
Okay, I actually didn't know that you could overdose on alcohol. Like, I didn't actually know that was a thing. Like, I just thought that you could just keep drinking and then, like, I didn't know that if you, like, I knew that if you mixed it with, like, a downer, then it can bring you to something else, but I didn't know that you could actually overdose from alcohol. Well, like, I didn't know what specific types of drugs that you could, like, if you mix them together or, like, can kill you versus, like, that are like okay to have, or not okay necessarily, but like just give you a better high but don't do any really damage, I guess. I definitely, like, I knew that, like, with, like, at mixing Xannies and alcohol will definitely get you to, like, a place where it'll definitely harm your heart or it can make it stop, but I didn't know how that worked. I didn't know that shut off something, like, in your brain. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I first heard Ralph about 5 years ago, and it really changed my whole attitude about drugs, because I've done drugs since I was 22, something like that. And that whole thing about how alcohol is like this thing that puts the outside of your brain asleep first and then eventually works right into motor function, and then you're stumbling, and then, you know, it shuts off your central nervous system. So, I mean, I think that was super valuable that he talked about that.
Yeah.
What else did you learn?
Actually, I knew a lot of the community, so
yeah. It's like, I feel like, especially just because, like, where we live, a lot of parents tell their kids about, because it's like it's everywhere in our community, so a lot of parents tell their kids ahead of time, like when they're little, because little kids talk a lot, so they're gonna be like, oh, you can't tell these people that, like, these certain people grow weed that we know, because they might get in trouble. You can't tell anyone, you have to keep this a secret, but you also need to know about it, so if you just stumble upon it, you don't, like, say, oh, I found this, or like,
yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel like in this community, they educate you earlier on this specific topic, but like the drugs and stuff, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was kind of like interesting how he like made a point to say that like some people's brains are already like wired differently from their parents, like how they're brought up as children, like, defines, like, whether they like drinking or whether they like smoking weed or, like, if they want to try it. Like, some people are just so distant, like, they don't even want to try it. They're, like, not, drugs is not their thing. Whereas other people, that's just the, that's how they grew up, is, like, in a family that has, like, drugs around or alcohol all the time. Some of their parents are alcoholics, so that environment might have made them, like alcohol, too, or it might have, like, set them off away from it so that they don't want to try it ever.
Well, it's definitely better to be more educated than, definitely more educated, oh my God, definitely better to be more educated than not educated.
So what do you think about the idea that, okay, 20 years ago, before you guys were born, everybody was really secretive about pot, everybody that grew. And so there was this conflict raising kids of like, well, listen, you can't tell anybody about those plants. And does that still exist?
Not in Mendo.
Definitely not here.
Well, Mendo, we're a bit more, it's kind of obvious that people grow marijuana.
Depending on your size of your garden, honestly. If you have, like, the legal limit, then it's, like, whatever, nobody cares. But if you're growing, like, 500 plants in your backyard, then people are like, you gotta keep on the down low.
Yeah. But we've only been doing legal limits for 10 years or something like that. I mean, before that, there was no legal limit.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, that's pretty much all that we know, because we're, like, 14, 15.
It still kind of depends still, though, because, like, if you, like,
in this community, if you, it depends on who like buys it from you or who you sell it to, because if you sell it to people that you're like really like a good friends with or family or like really good acquaintance, like you've known them forever, and then you have kind of a trust barrier, I guess, that you have a good trusting relationship. Whereas like a couple days ago, some people, they were like buying it somewhere in Mendocino, but they came down from like San Francisco or somewhere in the city. They came down from a city and they held some people in Laytonville at gunpoint over their weed. Because they didn't know, and the people who grew that didn't necessarily know those people from the city. They just like bought a couple times, but they didn't really know them. So I think it just depends on the relationship to the buyer and the seller.
It seems like this secrecy thing, which is going away because of the legalization, was one of the biggest problems up here with pot and raising kids. I mean, in the 70s and 80s, everybody was really secretive. Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. If you grew more than 10 plants, you're likely to get busted. So it was a
And if you're thing. Like super secretive about it and you don't want to tell anybody that you have it, you're growing it, you're smoking it, whatever you're doing with it, then you aren't gonna learn about it, because then it's like, well, why do you wanna learn about this? Are you doing it? And then you'll get in trouble or busted or whatever.
Do you think you guys now know some stuff about how marijuana works on the brain that maybe your parents don't know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. Yeah, I definitely think that we know more now than our parents do, and they are this is like what they live off of.
Well, like most people do think that that pot kills your brain cells, and a lot of people don't actually know the things behind it that lead to what it actually does. It's just an assumption. I mean, it's like Ralph was saying, there's speakers that go to schools and go different places to talk about weed and whether it's good or bad, but it's usually the people, they're not bringing up facts, they're just bringing up their personal opinion, like, oh, if they don't personally like weed, then they'll say, they'll try to find all the negative points of it and won't bring up any good points, but, or if they think it's good or if it's helped someone that they know and they just think that it's, that weed is good, then they'll bring up all the good points about it and try, and they won't bring up any bad points about it.
As stated by the speaker, it's neither good nor bad. It's kind of the middle ground, I say. It helps people with chemotherapy, but it can also get someone kicked out of school or something.
Well, it does more than that. It's like a gateway to cigarettes, and cigarettes causes cancer.
Those are good samples.
I mean, it depends on the situation that you're in, like, and how your body can handle the drug. Like, if you get addicted to it, then it might be bad. But if it's like helping you sleep or helps you calm down or helps you with chemo or something, then it's good.
Do you guys think that it's possible to get addicted to marijuana?
Yeah.
Yes.
You get addicted to the feeling that, like, you want that feeling so much, like, and you want it all the time.
To that feeling.
You can get addicted to anything. You could get addicted to chocolate.
You could get addicted to playing basketball because of that feeling when you
The adrenaline.
The dopamine. You could get addicted to sleeping.
You can really get addicted to anything, so yes, definitely you can get addicted to marijuana.
Yeah, but like, I don't really think of it as like a gateway drug. Like, I know people are like, oh yeah, it's a gateway drug, and it's like, I do understand that to a certain degree, and like, it's not gonna, I really don't think that pot is going to lead you to cocaine in the duration of a few years. Like, I mean, yes, it may lead to cigarettes, it may lead to vaping or something, but no, I don't think that it will lead to a cocaine.
Well, I think that part of it was more of a gateway drug when all drugs were illegal. And so, you made this first leap to do an illegal drug. And so then other illegal drugs were like, well, hey, you don't get busted for smoking pot. So, you know, maybe you do some cocaine or speed or acid or whatever.
And you won't get in trouble for it.
Yeah, because you've gone across that barrier of the fear of doing something that will get you in trouble.
Well, I picked up a lot of stuff on like how it tricks your brain into feeling like dope. Well, how it makes you feel good and how it like makes you I picked up a lot on how it actually affects you rather than just it makes you high. And how, like, I don't know. Some of the stuff that they were saying I already knew, like, that, like, the grease down those hairs or, like, destroy those hairs in your lungs. And then when those are gone, then it's not a filter anymore. Then all the stuff that you're breathing in, like, all the dust and stuff just goes in your lungs. And that's not really good for you. Like, not really good for you. But I already knew that. And, like, and most of the stuff that I picked up on was how it affects your brain rather than how it affects the rest of your body.
Yeah.
Like, for example, how it you can get hardwired just to where you're a stoner your whole life, and how you just smoke pot every day. Like, how that's it, that's like your life is just being a stoner and doing nothing. Like, with when you're an adolescent, it has so many, like how you showed us with the intersection in LA where there's so many things that you can do, and then it, like he said, it's like pruning off all those things. Soon you're just gonna prune off all the things that you don't do when you're high, and then you're just gonna be high because you do that more than you go and you more than you do anything else.
So a couple times it's been said in this thing that smoking pot can lead to smoking cigarettes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, because when you smoke marijuana, it makes you happy, I guess. It makes you high. But when you smoke cigarettes, you get nicotine, which makes that highness, that happiness, last longer.
And it makes you higher than you already are. So, yes, it can, if you're, depending on how much you are into marijuana, is the chance that you will try smoking cigarettes. Because like if you only do marijuana like once in a while, you're probably not gonna get that big into cigarettes, or maybe you are, but just for like that time, like once a month or something.
Didn't he say that it when you smoke a cigarette that it makes everything different, and like makes it different, and then when you smoke weed it also makes everything different because you aren't remembering how it is. So yeah. when you do something and then you smoke a cigarette, it may feel different than when you do something and you smoke weed. Like, so they might want to try, oh wow, well if this feels really great when I smoke weed, I wouldn't really feel like if I smoked tobacco or smoked a cigarette or did other stuff, because if you already know that weed has an effect on you.
So, if you go to a party and people bring out marijuana to smoke, what form is it in? Is it in people are rolling up joints or what?
There's a lot of different ones.
Or dabs. Are dabs really popular at parties?
Not really. But it's more like vape pens, because it's more like vape pens because you can just take them and like your parents won't have to know about it because it doesn't have a smell, and it's easy just to put in your backpack or just to put in your purse, and you can just carry it around rather than like carrying around bong or joints too. It's more like vape pens and joints at parties, unless it's your
ass. So are vape pens, you don't blow smoke out afterwards?
Yeah, you do, but it doesn't have a smell because it's different. I don't know why. I'm not really into it, but it's different, and it has no smell, and it's more like of a cloud of smoke rather than a cloud of, like, white smoke, like clouds. Yeah, it's more like that, and then rather than regular smoke, which is smoke.
It depends on, like, e-cigarettes. Like, it doesn't give off a fume, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I don't go to parties or, like...
Same here.
Ever.
I don't, but I FaceTime people when they're...
Outside of school, I'm anti-social.
When they're at the parties.
Do you think it's relatively common for people to go off and get high at lunchtime here?
Yeah.
Depends. Yeah. Like, say they're super energetic and nervous, that...
Not even that. Like, everybody here is, like, usually most people here have smoked before or smoke every day. And if you're a junior or a senior and you get to go uptown every day and you have a car, then it's super easy and accessible to just get in your car, go get high, and then come back to school. Nobody's going to notice because...
The person smoking is going to notice that it's, like, so confusing, I would think.
Yeah. But, like, the superintendents, if they all they do is see you high all the time, then they aren't going to notice for when you aren't high.
I mean, and some people, a lot of people have houses in town, so it's not that hard to, like, get a ride by someone to go to your house or even walk to your house isn't that hard if you can, like, leave school at lunch, which most kids can leave school at lunch whenever.
Okay, here we are. It's 3 weeks since Ralph gave his presentation at Laytonville High School, and I'm sitting in the library with Marty, who listened to Ralph and was engaged in the discussion, and I wanted to ask Marty a couple of questions. So the first one is, do you think that what Ralph said has had an impact on the students in this school?
It may have an impact on certain students in the school that were mainly interested in the speech.
In what way?
Maybe students have thought more about what cannabis can do to you and how it can affect your brain and your learning.
Do you think many students talk to their parents about what they heard at Ralph's presentation?
I'm not really sure.
How about you? Did you talk to your parents about it?
Yes, I talked to my mom about what cannabis can do to your brain and how it affects you emotionally and physically.
And was she surprised? Were you giving her new information?
Yes, she was surprised because she didn't know what half of those things did to you, and she did not know how badly it affected your brain.
Okay, and when we say badly, I think one of the things that I took from Ralph's speech was that it's a trick, that all of a sudden you feel like everything's okay and you don't have to worry about things, and that maybe you could get to that place by artwork or sports or something that you really feel passionate about. Is that kind of how you took what he said about dopamine?
Yes, that's how I exactly took it.
Have you always gone to school at Laytonville?
I started here in fifth grade, and then I moved and came back, so.
So when you were at another school, were you there in high school or just in middle school, I guess?
I was there in middle school and high school.
So did that school, where was it? That was in Idaho?
Yeah, Gooding, Idaho.
So did they talk about how marijuana works, or did they just kind of avoid the subject?
That school really avoids the subject because it's very illegal there.
Do students use marijuana and other drugs in Idaho?
Yes, multiple students do.
But everybody has to be really careful, and their parents aren't, and the community isn't involved in marijuana production?
No.
Do you think that the reason that they don't have the education, that they don't present educational things about marijuana is because they're afraid that it will encourage people to experiment?
I'm pretty sure that's exactly why they don't want to do that, because the students will get more into it if they learn more about it because they know what it'll do to you, and some students want to witness the side effects of it.
And yet a significant number of the students up there went ahead and experimented with substances even though they really had no knowledge like you have now.
Yes, just because they wanted to know the thrill.
Do you think that there should be more education about drugs?
I think there should be a lot more education about drugs because there's a lot more stuff that people should know about what cannabis and dopamine can do to you.
How many years have you lived here?
I've lived here for 5 years.
Do you think that marijuana and cannabis are just a much larger issue in this region than they are in the rest of the world?
Well, it depends on the states that are legal and illegal. Because if it's legal, usually students or adults think that they are allowed to do it more often. And if it's illegal, they don't think that they're allowed to do it all the time.
Do you think that if people use marijuana and have a positive experience, that encourages them to go and start playing with other substances?
Yes, because they realize what that did to you, and they want to know what other things may do to your body.
If you could kind of sum up what Ralph's message to the students was, you know, in a couple of sentences, what would you say?
Ralph's message to the students, he wasn't saying that marijuana is bad, and he wasn't saying that it was good. It's the way that you use it is what matters and what you use it with. He really tried to get to the students and let them know all the things that you need to know about cannabis and alcohol to help you learn more.
Do you think that having somebody like Ralph come every year is an important thing? Do you think that Ralph's information could be taught once and that you don't need a refresher course when you're, you know, going from freshman to sophomore to junior to senior?
No, because I think that if just because you learn something once doesn't mean you know it by heart. It takes a few times to get something into your head to where you know it better.
Did any of your teachers in the days following Ralph's presentation bring up anything about what Ralph said?
Nope.
Do you think that might have been helpful?
I think it might have been helpful if a few teachers talked about some of the side effects of what can happen if you use cannabis.
Do you see students that look like they're having problems because of their substance use?
No, not here.
Did you in Idaho?
Not me personally, but probably a few students up there may have.
Do you think marijuana is the only substance, marijuana and alcohol are the only substances that people through high school use up here?
Definitely not.
What else do you think they might be using?
They may use cocaine or meth, or they definitely use mushrooms here.
Do you think that it would be worthwhile to have somebody come and give presentations that were more specifically about cocaine, meth, and psychedelics like mushrooms?
Yes, I think it would help the students to realize what they're doing to themselves if they use those products.
So you were happy to get to listen to Ralph. And had you heard him before?
I've heard him once before.
And you feel like hearing it again was advantageous in that it maybe sunk in deeper or you understood it better?
Yes, it helps me understand more if I learn about it more than once.
Okay, thanks a lot, Marty. That was excellent.
Thank you. That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Marty. Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's You Speaks Out. Our Environment Prevention Strategies in the Community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089. Or email Jama at jama@laytonville.org. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, CA 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks, that is June 4th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in June.